Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Next Generation RDS-TDP Working Group call on the 22nd of August, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Okay, thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. Thank you. With this, I'll turn it back over to you, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome, everyone. And let me start off by asking if there are any updates to statements of interest. I'll add my congratulations to Natalie. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. Any others? Okay, let's go ahead and jump right in. So if we can have the results of the poll from last week put up, we'll get into that. Okay, everyone now has scroll capability, so feel free to do a scroll to where you want to be. You can see there are 25 participants in the poll, and we'll start off with question two results. Question two, as you can see at the end of the paragraph there, in order to provide resiliency to overcome communication failure, at least one alternative contact method, possibly multiple alternative contact methods, must be supported by the RDS as optional fields. And you can see the results there, both in a bar graph and in a table. About 68% supported that statement as is. Two people didn't support it, and then you can see that there were several people who made some suggestions in the comments. And if you'll scroll down there to, I guess it's probably page three, you'll see Mark Anderson's comment. He made a suggestion there for wording that made pretty good sense to the leadership team for wording without making significant changes to it. Notice it says to improve contactability with the domain name registrant or authorized agent of the registrant, the RDS must be capable of supporting at least one alternative contact method as an optional field. We thought that was captured, in essence, the same thing that the main statement said, but worded a lot better, added a few things that are probably helpful. Kept the optional concept that a majority of people supported. One of the things I want to point out is that if we factor in the comments of the people who suggested alternate wording, and many of them were in essence supportive of the overall concept, that would bring us to about 80% support for this. So certainly if anybody wants to make a comment, now's the time to do it, but my suggestion is that we add this to a list of working group agreements that have at least rough consensus and add it to our document. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Chuck. This is Alex. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to vote, but I still think either there's some context missing or I'm missing some context here. Is it not the case that this wording is specific only to email address? So if, for example, I would suggest perhaps an alternative warning that makes that clear, if I'm correct, would be helpful. For example, perhaps reword it as follows. In order to provide resiliency to overcome communication failure, when using the email address contact method, at least one alternative electronic contact method, possibly multiple alternative electronic contact methods, must be supported by the RDS as optional fields. That makes sense to me, assuming, of course, at some point in the future, we're going to move on to talking about postal address and phone and the like. I just thought I'd put that out there and get people's thoughts and perhaps be corrected if I needed to be. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. This is Chuck. Well, it says alternative contact. We've already said that there has to be at least one email contact. That's a previous agreement that we had. Now, are you suggesting let me hear the alternative wording again just to get your key concepts and what you're trying to change.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to understand, and I'm sorry for being a little slow here, I'm trying to understand, are these alternative contact methods for the mandatory email address only, or are they in general for to improve contactability across the board?
Well, I think it's contactability across the board. It's not talking about the mandatory email. It's talking about an alternative contact to the mandatory email. That's what alternative contact means. So I guess I may not be fully understanding what you're asking, because the term alternative contact means something other than the one we've already required, which is an email. You want to
okay.
Follow up? Does that help at all? Or did
yeah,
I
just
use it more?
Yeah, well, no. I guess, I asked a similar question last week because, I agree with those who've stated in the comments last week and this week that I think it's important that we have phone and postal address contacts available. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is, are we saying that? It's early. Are we saying that we will have the conversations about the requirements around phone and postal address in coming up in the future, or are we? Yes. So these alternative contact methods are related to the email, but separate from conversations that we may have in the future around phone and postal address. Is that right?
They're related in the sense that they are in addition to the mandatory email. So. And with regard to physical address and phone, let me tell you that we had a very intense leadership discussion on that yesterday. And we decided that it was best to get into that at a later point in time. So those are still possibilities, okay? All this is saying is that there would be at least one alternative contact as an optional field, and most a large percentage of the working group members that participated in the poll supported that. Now, not everybody. A lot of the comments talked about they thought that it should be mandatory. I was probably one of those that thought it should be mandatory, but I'm just one vote. And so what we went with is what a large majority of the group supported and treated as an optional field. Can that change later? It could, depending on, as we said all along, as we continue to progress, we'll have to evaluate decisions we've made, and some may need to be reconsidered. Steve, I suspect you might want to add to some of this. Please do.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. This is Steve Metalitz. So based on your dialogue just now with Alex, it seems that this poll result suggests that the resiliency for purposes of contactability under the system that we're working on here will be reduced from what it is today, because anything beyond an email address would be optional. So it would have to be supported, but it would be optional for the registrant to provide it or even for the contracted party to collect it. And I think that's a step backwards. We shouldn't be reducing the robustness of contactability, and that's why I objected to the reference to optional fields. And I think that we shouldn't be stepping back from the status quo, which involves collection of other contact methods as an obligation. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve, and I don't disagree with your line of reasoning there. So appreciate that. Greg Shatton.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. Apologize that I also did not get a chance to vote. I tend to use Sunday to clean up all of my loose ends, and unfortunately the polls all cut down on Saturday night, so I've missed the last couple of polls. Should try to move this loose end to Saturday, or maybe we could move the closing of the poll to Sunday. In any case, my views are aligned with what Alex and Steve have said, generally with those who voted in the third alternative wording group, most of which seem to be internally consistent. I think that there are a couple of problems here. One is that we're asking a very abstract statement when we're really concerned with a series of very concrete options. So that's the first problem. We should be talking in more particulars. I understand that's coming later, but the problem is that these vague high-level statements could be used to influence what the group seems to have thought so far. I think that there's also some survey bias or at least ambiguity. One of the things that I've learned in various drafting contexts is that at least is a really dangerous phrase to use, because it can be interpreted in many different ways and cause trouble for that reason. Somebody who supports having two, at least two, would also support having at least one, unless the option of at least two is also an option. So, you know, I would want to have, you know, the kind of the Holy Trinity for the moment, which is email, telephone, and physical address, and those should all be mandatory. It would be best if that were actually asked as a concrete question, rather than some sort of implicit behind the scenes sort of possibility. So that's basically where I'm coming at, and am concerned, you know, specifically with Steve's idea that this is a step backwards from the current contactability, which is, you know, generally requires the trio. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. This is Chuck. I have a question for you because there's one statement you made that I don't understand. I don't understand why at least is dangerous.
Sure. At least is dangerous because it is not, like up to, it's not an actual number, and it can be interpreted, it can include both those who believe that it should be no more than and those who would prefer those that would it would be more than. So one could credibly answer the, if you wanted seven, you could still answer at least one should be.
But it doesn't imply
not more.
I think that it, arguably it does. It implies that not more than is an acceptable result. It does not rule out more than, and it does not rule out not more than. So it actually covers a variety of real responses.
Yeah, I agree with that wording. I didn't agree with the way you expressed it the first time.
Until I make sense, it happens several times a year. So I think the point is that it actually embraces a number of different responses that are actually contradictory in terms of what we're trying to do and creates ambiguity. That's the problem.
Thanks, Greg. Rod, you're next.
Hi, thanks. Rod Rasmussen here. So my interpretation of this and what the discussion we've been having is we're worried about capabilities right now for the RDS rather than what is actually required to be filled into any particular field, right? So the current WHOIS system does not have this concept of alternative contact methods supported. So the question we're I think what we're trying to get accomplished here is establish the idea that alternative contact methods are a good thing and should be supported. We are not deciding whether or not email, phone, postal, or anything like that is an absolute requirement. So but I think what I'm hearing is people getting caught up in the wording, thinking we're making two decisions at once, which is the capability of being able to support these things along with the requirements around what is going to actually be filled in. So I would suggest that maybe the wording be changed to something like, irregardless of whatever is required, something like that, paraphrase that, an alternate contact method should be supported. Right. So it takes away the concern, is this email, is this postal telephone, is this other stuff, irregardless of all that other stuff, or regardless, I guess, irregardless and regardless of the same word. This is something that the RDS should support. That's the way I was taking this. I was not thinking about postal versus phone versus email in that context. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod. This is Chuck. Jim, you're next.
Thanks, Chuck. Jim Galvin, for the record. I guess I've had the good fortune to be on vacation the last couple of weeks, so I haven't, participated and been here or done the polls. And I apologize for then here in the middle of all this, but I guess I'm just kind of wondering, why is it that more than a single contact method is not just a business decision? I mean, I have no trouble believing that we certainly need a method of contact. Maybe we want to specify which one for standard purposes, but I'm wondering if there's been some discussion about this and maybe if someone could say a little bit about this. I appreciate that alternate methods, more than one method, all of those kinds of things are certainly very helpful in a business context. Any business would like to be able to hang on to their customers, and the ways in which they do that is valuable. But I'm wondering, why are we requiring that this RDS across all of the registrars and registries be obligated to do more than one thing? I mean, building on what Rod said, especially since this concept doesn't exist today, so I mean, what motivation, and resiliency, we're talking about resiliency and communication, and I'll respond to that directly. I still think that's a business issue. It's not clear to me why that's important overall to the system. I mean, if somebody only gives you one contact method and it doesn't work, then, the consequences of that are that you lose the domain name in this particular case, if that's what it comes down to. So, yes, anyway, thank you. You know, why do we have to have more than one anyway? Well, how did we get to this place? Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. This is Chuck. I won't try to repeat everything we've talked about this in the last several weeks because there's been a lot of discussion on it. And certainly a large percentage of people thought there should be at least one alternative contact, but that there could be more. And all we're saying here is that the RDS must be capable of supporting that. Let's go to McKaylee.
Thanks, Chuck. McKaylee for the record. I'm not going to address the last speaker's queries because I really can't. But I think a couple of the people who were talking about this seem to be assuming that what we're talking about is ignoring what's already been collected. So under the current system, you collect physical address, email, phone, possibly fax, though I'm not sure why, but anyway. The root of this entire discussion was around adding extra electronic methods for communication or other methods. So in the chat, Alex has put in language which, for somebody like me, I see as being perfectly fine. The system needs to support something, extra contact points. There's no requirement for people to collect them, but it should be able to support them, which is why I think several of us were supportive of this. I think the concern some people have voiced is that by looking at this particular aspect of contact management, through a microscope, I suppose, people have kind of missed the bigger picture and are assuming that because we're not explicitly stating what data is being collected and all that certain things are going to go away. And I don't think anybody had been suggesting that. Thanks.
Thank you, McKaylee. Jim, is that an old hand? Okay, thanks. All right, so how do we move forward on this? One option is just to record the statement as worded by Mark as a rough consensus conclusion and note that there's considerable objection to that. One of the things we want to start doing less and less of is trying to wordsmith in meetings like this because it is terribly ineffective. So one of the things we could do if there's enough support in the working group is to form a small group of two or three people that could go off and do some wordsmithing based on what they heard and come back to the working group with that. I'll try and get a sense of where those on the call are on that as we move forward. But right now, let's listen to Tim.
Hey, y'all. Tim O'Brien here. I think there's two things we're muddling here. One is the having the option for multiple contacts for a particular domain name. And then for each of those contacts, having primary and alternate ways of communicating with that individual, whether it be mail or fax or whatever, right? Understanding that some places don't have good communications in areas. All of us are not in first world countries. Some of that is because companies close, people pass on, horrible things happen. Those websites, those domains get compromised and start spewing malware and it makes it forces it to be a business issue decision for the other people on the internet. And how do we get in touch with those individuals to try to put that fire out, as it were? Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. And Jim, I think that at least starts to address part of your question in terms of the rationale that's been discussed over the last week. Certainly, one of the simple points that was made was if the primary method of communications, if email, fails, what happens? Now, like Jim said, one option is that domain name, if they don't, if their email doesn't work, their domain name gets deleted. I think a lot of people are not comfortable with being that restrictive on it. So that's just a little bit more in terms of some of the thinking that's and discussion that's gone on over the last several weeks. Jim, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Jim Galvin for the record. So I think I'm catching up here at this point. And I've been trying to have a couple little chat statements here. I think trying to get through here is that this is not about what must be collected, but what it must be possible to collect, I think, is the distinction we're making at this point. So we're simply stating that in more concrete terms, you know, the registry, if you will, you know, needs to be able to take on board a variety of contact methods, and we're not specifying which one they're going to get, but they have to be possible for them to get them and perhaps get more than one of them. And I don't mean to get overly specific about it. I hope that's not going to derail the conversation. If it is, you can just tell me not to go down that path. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Comment appreciated. So let me So, again, I don't want to get into wordsmithing. So, that, again, I gave two options. There are probably more that we could consider, but one of them is to accept the wording, and let's use Mark Anderson's suggested wording, as is, as a rough consensus conclusion at this point in time, and certainly, there several people have expressed opposition to elements of that. What I'd like to do right now is find out how many people would object at this point in time, and I'm going to judge it by the people on this call right now so I can make a decision. How many people would strongly object to this statement? As worded by Mark, as a rough consensus conclusion at this stage of the game. Put a red X in the chat if you would object to that. I'm just trying to get a sense of the room, how strong the objections are, how many there are. Okay, so my sense of it right now,
Chuck, it's Alan. People in the question in the chat are asking, can you be specific on what question are you talking? What wording are you talking about?
Okay, like I said earlier, Alan, if you scroll to page 3 and look at Mark Anderson's comment, I'll read it. Okay, to improve contactability with the domain name registrant or authorized agent of the registrant, the RDS must be capable of supporting at least one alternative contact method as an optional field. If you strongly object to that conclusion at this stage of the game, put a red X in the chat. Okay, and those on the leadership team, help me out here if you disagree with my conclusion. That's fine to do so. At this stage of the game, okay, there are 5 people out of 35 that object to that wording right now, which is consistent with the 80% figure, fairly close to it, that we found that supported this particular approach. Now, keep in mind, those of you that object, your issues are not dead. We can come back and change these things, but at this stage of the game, it appears that there is at least rough consensus for that statement. So we'll add it to as a working group agreement, and I wouldn't call it consensus, Volker. I would say that it's a rough consensus with, I think, some strong objections, which we should note. Okay, and we can come back and if we have to, based on additional work, we may have to come back and revisit some of these things. Alan?
Thank you. Since, as I read that wording, the opposite of it is it should not be capable of supporting a second communication path, I'd like to hear from the people who put X why they are objecting to it.
So, Alan, this is Chuck. I don't think that's totally fair because there are several elements of this. And when you look at all the comments, people's concerns covered a couple areas. One of them whether it should be optional or mandatory. Several people thought it should be mandatory, and a couple of people have said that again today, maybe three people at least have said it today. So that's could be the aspect of it that they're disagreeing with, not the point you're making. So there's a little bit more to it than just the one aspect. Greg Shatton, go ahead.
Yeah, Chuck, if I may have a follow-on.
Sure.
I understand why people are of different views on much of this, and if this statement were to have said this is all it should be able to do, I would object strongly, but that isn't what it's saying, and that's why I'm concerned. Are people objecting to what it's saying, or is it a larger objection of where they think we should be going? Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. I think Alan actually sets up my point quite well, which is that there are multiple opposites to this statement. My concern and why I objected to it is that it makes it seem that we think it is sufficient for there to be merely one alternate contact and for that alternate contact to be an optional field. In my mind, that is insufficient, and therefore I can't agree with this statement. But again, my problem is that the statement itself lacks clarity. Working off of it, I think, is flawed. So there are those who could object because they think it goes too far, and those who object because they think it implies that this is as far as we can go and that we should go further. So even though it doesn't say exactly one and no more, it implies that exactly one and no more and optional and not mandatory is an acceptable state of affairs. If it's meant to include all of those who want one or more and those who want it to be optional or mandatory, then I'll sign on, but I don't know what that tells us except that it distinguishes those who think there should be only a single contact point. It distinguishes them from everybody else. If that's what we're trying to do, this is not the question to ask to get that point. So I think we're in the end kind of getting kind of an invalid result out of this whole thing. So I think we need to clarify exactly what we're trying to say, rather than try to kind of look at various abstract statements that don't really quite say anything. Clear. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. All right, let's move on from this. I already made a decision. That decision overruled later. And keep in mind, what I'm expressing is not necessarily my views. If it was just me, I probably would have handled this very differently, but there's more involved than just me. So let's go with that for now, and let's go to question number, and my apologies to those who don't like that. Let's go to question number three. And look at the results. That question three is on page four on the slides. You'll see that the statements at the bottom of that paragraph, PBC, that's purpose-based contact types identified, admin, legal, technical, abuse, proxy, privacy, and business, be supported by the RDS, but optional for registrants to provide. You can see the results there. About 65% supported it. Another 17% provided alternative wording. Okay, again, if we factor in the those who put the alternative wording, which seemed to support a similar concept, that would bring us up to about 80% support there. So, and then, of course, there were four who didn't support at all. I'll let you look at the comments yourself. Suggestion from the leadership team is that the that we accept that statement as a rough consensus conclusion. In other words, a working group agreement at this point in time, and add it to our list. But I'll open it up now for discussion. Alex.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Alex. So again, I'm having trouble with kind of an abstract concept here. I think I agree on the abstract that those types must be supported. I guess the question is, as the statement suggests, that it's optional for registrants to provide them. The question is if they do not provide, then what contact information kind of concretely is available? And this may be, again, an issue getting caught up again on context and perhaps previously agreed to statements. But I'm curious as to if registrants do not provide this data, then what data is available? Is it none? I don't think it could be none. And I'm trying to make this a more concrete discussion versus abstract. Thanks.
Yeah, and by the way, I empathize with the request for more concrete statements, but as most of you know, because you've been in this environment for a long time like me, the more concrete you get, the harder it is to get agreement. So I'm very empathetic to that, and we're going to have to get more and more concrete as we move forward, so I support that. Now, Alex, let me take a stab at what you ask. I don't know if I'll do a very good job, but, okay, so right now we have at least there has to be an email contact, right? And you're right, I think. I think what that means is okay, it's possible then if these are all optional, and by the way, in the comments, several people made this point, it's possible then that that's all you have is an email contact, okay? Because if they opt not to provide any contacts for any of these six roles or any other roles we might add, then you just have the email contact. And if that fails, we go back to what Jim said, and if their email doesn't work, then their domain name can be put on hold, and, you know, it's kind of a drastic move. But that's kind of where we're at right now with this. So let me be quiet and turn it over to Alan.
Thank you. My concern is very closely related to that, in that the answer, in my mind, depends on decisions we have not made yet. And I'll give you a specific example. If we later decide that when we have gated access, then certain classes of requester get certain information, and we, for instance, say that the UDRP provider will only get legal contact, then it's going to depend on whether we default the legal contact to the one we do have or leave it blank. And if we may decide later on that, for instance, UDRP providers only get a single contact, then it's really important to make sure they actually get a contact as opposed to a blank line. But we haven't had that discussion yet, so it's not clear whether it is acceptable to say they don't provide it because the real question in my mind is it going to get filled in by someone so it's available? If, on the other hand, we say if anyone can get any contact, they get all the contacts, then it's a moot question. So it's really contingent on a decision that we have not discussed or made yet. Thank you.
Alan, I want to thank you a lot for the way you expressed that, because I think it portrays the challenges that we have in front of us. Because you're right. When we get to more detail down the road, we may run into things. We may decide that in a certain case, that can't be optional. It has to be mandatory under certain conditions. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but you're absolutely right, and that's part of the reason probably why we have to keep these at a fairly high conceptual level at this stage and until we move further down the road, and that's why we may have to come back and revisit some of these things in a broader context with more specific information later on. So again, I said, you know, for those of you that don't like where we're at, there's still the possibility that we'll come back and make some adjustments. But well said, Alan. Thank you.
To be one more follow-on, if the question had asked, does the RDS need to contain all of the elements as opposed to does the registrant need to provide them, it's a very different question. Thank you.
It is. You're right. Alex, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Alex. Yeah, so I think that the discussion in the chat has kind of touched upon what I wanted to say, which was, you know, in your previous comment, you said that email address, you know, is a method. But I believe email address has to be an element of some purpose-based contact, right? It's just not a standalone element. And so my thinking was, if that's the case, then the default mandatory contact is simply the registrant contact, which is what Marika mentioned and seems to jive at least with my thinking. If that's the case, then that helps me at least put this into context with regard to what should be optional and what needs to be mandatory and what contact information may be available, first collected and then eventually when we get there available for viewing. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. And this is Chuck. And as you note in the chat, and sorry, I haven't been following the chat thoroughly, but we had quite a bit of discussion in the leadership team on the fact that if the registrant opts not to provide information on these various roles, then it will likely default to the registrant, and they're responsible. Now, is that sufficient? Well, in our recommendations, first of all, for requirements, you know, we'll talk about that. Of course, then we several people in the comments got into the need for accuracy of contact information, and we will get to that because one of our questions, I think it's our fifth question in the charter, has to do with accuracy. So we will get there, and that's a critical factor, but that's why we're not addressing that now. I'm just looking at the chat. Okay, so and keep in mind right now we're talking about this collection, not display. Okay, so let's go to Greg.
Thanks. I think the conversation that Alex had, you know, allayed some of my concerns as well, but I think we need to be clear, and it's not just likely, but true, that these purpose-based contacts would be the registrant if they're not populated with alternate contact. You know, and it definitely needs to be clear that the alternate contact isn't just go suck an egg, because that's what one might think if it's left blank. So I think it needs to be clear that leaving a blank isn't just don't bother me, I don't have an abuse contact.
And the point you're making and that others have made, Greg, I think is important. And we may have to state this in a some sort of a requirement that if the registrant elects not to provide any of this information, they need to be willing to assume the responsibility for any other purposes that we may decide on going forward. Okay, we started our purpose discussion some time ago, and then we got off on the key concepts, but we'll have to come back to the purposes again, and that'll be a critical area of work for us. McKaylee, go ahead.
Thanks, McKay, for the record. I'm not 100% sure whether we really want to go down the path of getting that prescriptive at this juncture about what goes into which contact and whether what to do in the case of something being blank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think, you know, the concerns people have raised should be noted, but I wouldn't be 100% comfortable about making some kind of final decision on who ends up with what. I mean, depending on people's business models, maybe in some cases, you know, everything defaulting to the abuse contact for the registrar is perfectly fine for a lot of these things. Maybe in some cases people would like it to be left blank, and so that the only option would be to contact the abuse contact. And there are many, many other facets of something like that that might need to be looked at. And ultimately as well, a lot of this is going to vary on where this information is going to end up and who's going to have access to it. So what I think it's important to look at, you know, the various different possible issues around all this. I'm not 100% comfortable with the idea of getting that prescriptive about what goes where and who gets what and all that kind of thing at this juncture. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, McKaylee, I appreciate that. So I'm going to handle question three like I did question two, and find out how many people strongly object on this call, okay, to accepting the statement, PBC types identified, admin, legal, technical abuse, proxy, privacy, business, must be supported by the RDS, but optional for registrants to provide. And that's at the top of page four on the slides if you're not there. How many strongly object to accepting that as a rough consensus conclusion? In other words, one of our working group agreements, and their tentative working group agreements based on future work, right, at this stage of the game. Would you put a red X in the Adobe room? Okay, so again, is there a comment? Alex, did you want to say something? Oh, you just hit the wrong button. Okay.
No. Yeah, I'd like to if I can.
Go ahead, Alex.
I guess two thoughts come to mind. I think it would be helpful if this poll question were actually two, right? PB types identified must be supported by the RDS, period. And then another one around which are optional and which are required to provide, which if we did have that conversation, I think we would have to add to the list of PBC types the registrant, the plain old vanilla registrant, purpose-based contact.
Keep
I think
in
that
mind,
would
Alex,
make sense to me.
We already covered registrant, and we have some working group agreements on that already. But in fact, you'll see that in just a little bit when we get beyond our results here. But thank you for the comment. So I see two or three people. There was three that strongly objected to this. So again, we have a sense that a lot of people don't object to this at this stage. So, Alan, go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. You said something as you were describing it, which I think is really important. You said this is a decision we make, which we may revisit when we have looked at other things. There is a tendency in these kind of groups, and I'm not predicting your behavior or behavior of this group, to once we have made a decision, considering it sacred. And if we're making a decision like this, which is contingent on several other things we have not come anywhere close to discussing yet, and may be completely reversed based on those decisions, that's different than saying it's a tentative agreement, which has a form of rigidity and being set in concrete in it, which I think is completely inappropriate, which is why I put my X. Thank you.
What is completely inappropriate?
To say that this is a decision, even a tentative decision of the group, when it is a tentative decision contingent on several clear things that we haven't discussed yet. Now, you know, in other words, if there was a, we will reopen after we have discussed the following 5 points, that's fine. But just labeling it as a tentative discussion, which, yes, we could reopen if necessary, I think makes it far too rigid than it should be. Thank you. I understand the desire of why we want to get rigid answers and keep on going, but I think in cases like this, there are just too many if buts.
Well, that's the story of this working group.
Indeed.
But, so I don't know how we get around that, because we can't get anything done if we have to do it in parts. So to comment a little bit on the first part of what you said, Alan, and this is Chuck speaking. When we get to the point where we formally assess the level of agreement in the working group on specific recommendations, that's when we will get to the point where things become more sacred. We're not going to go back and revisit things after we do that. We're a long ways from there now. So let me move on from there. Alex, you're next.
All right, Chuck, that was an old hand.
Okay. Greg Shatton? Greg Shatton?
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I share Alan's concerns and your desires all at the same time, at least on this particular item, maybe not generally. So I think that the problem with trying to come up with something that sounds too decisional is that there are too many variables that haven't been dealt with. That really, variables makes it sound too wonky. Too many facts, too many pieces of the puzzle that are not visible yet. And there are, you know, contradictory paths. So either these are very meaningful decisions that take us down certain paths, or they're not particularly meaningful because they don't foreclose other paths, but they could be used that way, which, you know, gets me to where Alan's fear is. So I would say two things about how we do move forward. I think we need to recognize that this is a somewhat iterative process, and that if you make something sound too definite, that can get in the way of a proper iterative process, because then people start clinging to what they to a result because they believe it satisfies their need, not because it was in fact a group result. I think the other thing is to try to get down to some of the missing pieces that are causing, you know, a number of people to say they really can't answer these. So we put the puzzle pieces down, Marika, but we don't glue them down. Unless you're a professional Lego artist, then you do glue the pieces together. But other than that, you know, we have to be prepared to move the pieces around. They need to be in indicative places. But we need to know what we're indicating, and sometimes you find out the piece is in completely the wrong place. So I'm suggesting if we put these down. We need to put them down with the idea that we're going to revisit them and that they are not kind of right or not decisional milestones of the group. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for bringing up the term iterative again. We haven't mentioned that in a while. There was a few weeks there where we were mentioning it every week. It is an it has to be an iterative process. So please remember that. And it's the only way we can do it, I think, or at least I haven't seen anything that allows any differently. So thank you for making that point. Okay, so again, let's record this as a, and I'm sorry if you don't like the word tentative. I think you understand what I mean by that. We are in an iterative process. We may revisit. We probably will in lots of cases. So let's accept that. And I'd like to move on then to start looking at data elements in particular. And so if we could take this off. Greg, is that an old hand? Okay, thanks. And Chuck is speaking. Okay, so so let's take the results off, and let's put up the next set of slides, which is going to go back to what to a survey we did associated with our face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg. In that survey, there are 39 data elements that we surveyed, okay? And we ask you whether you strongly agreed that that's a data element that should be supported in the RDS, whether you agree, whether you're neutral on it, whether you disagree, whether you strongly agree. And in fact, Julie or Marika, I'm not sure which one of you are pulling the slides, but just flip through and just stopping about 10 seconds each on all the slides that are in this deck right now so that people kind of see the way we've organized the results from that survey. Can you scroll to the next slide just briefly? And let's go on beyond that one. I'll come back and talk to that one in more detail. And that one. Okay, here's where I wanted to go next. So here's a group where more people disagreed or were unsure than agreed. Okay, and go to the next slide, please. And then the others fit in a couple categories there. And there's a scoring system there. So now go back up to the top for me, please. And you can give let's not give control yet to everybody else because I want them to focus on what I'm talking about so it's easier to follow. So, again, for the sake of everybody's memory, the scoring system that Lisa used on this, for a strongly agree, it counted as 2 points. For a strongly disagree, it counted as 2 points. Agree and disagree counted as a point, and then you have the neutral, which, and so that's what the scoring is. And so it was just a simple arithmetical measure of weighing the level of support, okay? And what you see in front of you here are what we called mostly agreed data elements. So total points ranging from 32 up to 51, okay? So 51 being the highest level of support based on this measure that we're using, okay? And so what we're going to start today is getting some feedback from you, first of all, on the mostly agreed data, okay? And then we'll go to the mostly disagreed elements, and I'm not sure we'll get that far today, and then we'll go to the rest of them and try and get a sense of where the group is for each of these data elements. And keep in mind, all we're talking about right now is collection. Okay, we're not talking about access yet. Okay, so let's go now. Keeping these data elements in mind, we're going to break those down in a couple categories. So let's go to slide 2. So some of these have already been covered, okay? The registrant name and organization was covered by Working Group Agreement 27. At least one element identifying the domain name registrant, i.e. registered name holder, must be collected and included in the RDS. Okay? Registrant country, we have a working agreement on that, number 25. Registrant country must be included in RDS data elements, must be mandatory to collect for every domain name registration. Registrant email address, working agreement 29, one that we've talked about recently and at several meetings. At a minimum, one or more email addresses must be collected for every domain name included in the RDS for contact roles that require an email address for contactability. Now, this is one, by the way, that last clause may create some confusion, and we may revisit that sooner rather than later. We've kind of noted that in the leadership team. But for now, focus on the first part mainly. At a minimum, one or more email addresses must be collected for every domain name included in the RDS. And then for purpose-based contacts, for admin contact, technical, proxy privacy contact, we've hit on those a little bit in fact, really, one of our agreements today hit on all of the purpose-based contacts, okay? So we have those. Now let's go to the next slide. Next slide, please. Okay. So the ones that we haven't covered at all are reseller, and these are the ones of the mostly supported contacts, right? Reseller, URL of the complaint site, original registration date, registrar abuse contact email address, and registrar abuse contact phone. So those are the five that, and you can give scrolling capability to everyone now so that they can move to one of those previous slides if they'd like. So on these five, again, noting that in our survey, a lot of people think these should be supported, in other words, collected and supported in the RDS. Which if any of these would any of you object to being supported in the RDS? And we'll identify those and we'll talk about the reasons, your rationale, why they shouldn't be included. So I'll just throw it open right now. Does anyone on the call object to any of these? If so, raise your hand and then be prepared to give your rationale so that the whole group can understand your thinking. Volker. You probably on mute, Volker. I'm not hearing you. Still not hearing anything.
He says he's not on the phone.
You're not on the phone. Can you please type something in the chat? And okay, so he said the URL for a complaint site should not be out there. And if you can put your rationale. Okay, so Volcker's rationale appears to be because it has to do with hosting. And Marika notes it refers to the Internet site. And so, again, Volcker's argument is that content, dealing with content, which is beyond ICANN's mission, he didn't say that, I added that, and the Who Is Problem Reporting site, and then Greg Aaron is saying it has nothing to do with contact. Marika, let me let you talk.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just want to make clear that indeed this is probably the abbreviated version, but the actual data element is the URL of the Internet complaint site, which is an ICANN website dealing with Who Is Problem Reporting. I want to make sure that people understand that this is not a general URL expected to be included or something related to the registrant or the registrar. This is a very specific URL.
Yeah, and Volcker, you're right. That we need to make that clearer. Obviously, this is a slide in very brief form. So Volcker, would you, now that you understand that, would you still object to that being supported, collected, and supported in the RDS? So I guess what you're saying, Volcker, is that it shouldn't be shown with the individual domain data. I think that's going to be an implementation issue, depending on how an RDS system is implemented, where that would particularly show. But assuming we can agree at some point on where it's most appropriate to show that data, I'm concluding that you don't object to that any longer, understanding that we'll have to figure out the best place for it. All we're talking about, Greg, is collection. Greg Shatton, all we're talking about is collection. And Volcker, you're right, the Internet link, at least for now, is pretty constant, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be shown for people who are looking at a RDS record. Greg Shatton, go ahead.
Thanks. I think your last statement about saying that whether or not it should be shown, I asked about whether we're talking about collection or display, but earlier you said you're only talking about collection. So I think the point here is that if this is a constant email or a constant address, a URL, that, you know, is not distinct for different registrants, then it's not something that needs to be collected from the registrant at all. So it's not really, doesn't seem to me it should be part of our conversation, and at least not during the collection aspect. When we do get to what should be shown to Who Is or RDS users at the other end, then I definitely believe it should be shown.
Yeah.
And displayed, especially if it is a
yeah.
Who Is complaint. One way to minimize complaints is to not to give any place to complain to or hide it, but I think that's probably not what we're aiming at. So I think we just need to kind of clarify that we probably don't need to consider one way or the other whether the URL of the complaint site.
Yeah, and we talked several weeks ago about the problem of the word collection, because some of the elements, even in our minimum public data set, are not actually collected from the registrant. So hopefully everybody remembers that, and if we use the word collection, realize that not everything is collected from the registrant. Since we're on URL of complaint site, I'm not seeing – I think it seems like there's I'm not seeing any Volcker had the one objection, but I think we've dealt with that. Are there any other, and again, I haven't kept up on the chat totally, so help me out, other staff and leadership team members, if you need to point something out there. Are there any others that anybody thinks, so we've talked about URL of a complaint site. Are any of the other elements there elements that anybody thinks should not be supported in the RDS? Okay, so is it fair to conclude then that there are no objections to these five data elements being supported in the RDS? Okay. Volker, you said reseller can be problematic. Please write in the chat why you think that's the case. Well, Volker, you said since the registrar does not necessarily know the ultimate reseller, we could still collect it even if the registrar didn't know that, couldn't we? I mean, we may have to implement some new procedure for that, but I don't think that eliminates collecting it. And, of course, we have to be in sync with the privacy proxy policy recommendations that were made recently in a PDP that are still being implemented, I think. Let's not get into all the edge cases of a chain of resellers or whatever. In implementation, we'll have to make sure we cover those to make sure that they're that it's implemented appropriately. Some of you are getting into implementation issues. We need to deal with those if and when we make recommendations and recommend policies that do that. But I think that's something that can be done in the implementation phase. Okay. I'm going to conclude unless somebody raises their hand real quickly, and I'm doing a better job on the chat right at the moment. That probably won't last. These seem to be okay. So we can conclude that these five data elements, there's no objections, at least no strong objections, and the objections we heard we've kind of dealt with for these five elements. Let's go then to the next slide. It doesn't look like I have control of that. So, okay, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. And so my question will be a little bit different this time. So here are five data elements that were where there was more disagreement and unsure votes than there were agree or strongly agree. And so my question for you on this one is, are there any of these that anyone on the call thinks that they should be supported? Okay, Steve. You're on mute, Steve. Steve Metallitz.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm sorry. Steve Metallitz. Well, I guess the question, I'm not quite sure what you're asking. Are you asking whether these ought to be supported or mandatory? Because didn't we just reach a tentative conclusion, at least if some indications of the first question we talked about today are correct, didn't we say that, when we're talking about alternative contact methods, weren't we talking about things like SMS, IM, social media?
Sure.
Alternative electronic contact methods, and we decided those all should be supported, but none of them should be mandatory.
Well, the only difference, mostly correct, I think, Steve. Here's where I'd make a distinction. This is Chuck speaking. We didn't specifically say that the five the five data elements on the screen right now should be included in that optional as an option, okay, as a contact. So what we're asking right now is we're specifically asking, should the RDS support, and if we go by our other conclusions, forgive me for that for those of you who want mandatory, okay? So based on the conclusions we made today, what we're asking now is, should any of these five elements be included as and supported in the RDS as optional contacts, contact methods, whatever term we want to use? Did that okay, make so sense, Steve? Well, make sure I'm not sure I did.
Back in June. Well, I guess what were we? Because back in June, we disagreed about including these elements. And I don't know whether we were being asked, should they be mandatory or should they be supported?
I don't think we're that specific.
Because now, today, we've decided they should be supported but not mandatory. Okay.
Not these five elements. No decision has been made that these five elements should be supported. That's what I'm asking right now.
Well, I thought that was the interpretation.
We're getting to the next level, Steve. We generally said that at least one alternative optional contact should be supported in the RDS, but it should be optional. We're going to a more detailed level right now. And now the sense of the poll was these shouldn't. So I'm asking for anybody who thinks they should be specific optional contacts should be supported in the RDS to say so now. Otherwise, we'll conclude that these won't be in the set of possible alternative contacts. I don't know if I said that clearly or not. Did it make any sense, Steve? Okay, let's go to Alan.
Yeah. Okay. I think I understand what you're asking, but I think we already answered it.
So I'm giving people a chance to disagree with the. Well, I'm not sure. What was our answer? If we already answered it, what was our answer?
Should be supported. That is our answer. This is Steve Metalis again. The answer was, yes, it should be supported. That was the first question when we talked about alternative contact, and people were interpreting that as an alternative electronic contact. Either that or else we were deciding that it's optional to collect mail and phone. I don't think you can have it both ways, Shockey. Either that was about alternative electronic contact methods such as SMS, IM, and social media, or it was about other alternative methods such as physical address and phone. So
let me try again. In our conclusion that we approved today, we said there should be at least one alternative contact, but we did not say which alternative contacts should be in that set of possible alternative contacts. What we're doing now is getting more specific. So let's go back up to the previous slide, please. In fact, two slides up support ones. One more. Okay. So what we decided, what I concluded we decided, maybe I was wrong, that all of these contacts here are possible alternative contacts. Some of them are not so alternative, like registrant name, but the ones that we haven't already, and registrant email address. But if you take out those that we've already said need to be mandatory, all we're doing now is going a step further and saying, yeah, all of these should be supported in the RDS. Now go down two slides again to the not supported ones. Okay, and so you can see now, so we're getting more specific. Should these contacts here be part of that set of possible alternative contacts? The sense of the group in the survey we took back in July was these shouldn't be, and I'm giving people a chance to argue against that conclusion right now. Should any of these be concluded? The sense of the group in the survey results was no, they shouldn't be. Alan, let me turn it over to you. Maybe you can help me out here.
Thank you very much. My comment to some extent does not apply to facts, and I'll go back to that in a moment. I do not believe that the RDS should have to the social media of the day or the communication method of the day. This changes over time, and we're doing something for the long haul. I do believe that there should be an alternate contact type of entry in the RDS where the registrant can specify what is the mechanism, and then this is the ID. So they can say Facebook, such and such, or SMS or Skype, such and such, and I think there should be, they should be allowed to, if should they choose, specify multiple ones of those, but I would strongly object to actually having fields associated with SMS or immediate messaging, because we're going to have to specify which one anyway. So all of those, I think, fall under a single category. Fax is a slightly different category because although it's getting out of vogue, I took it off my business card several years ago. It does have legal meaning in some places, and we may want to consider fax differently. But in the general one, yes, people should be able to, and the RDS should be capable of storing it, but in a generic way, not specific for each of these perhaps multiple kinds of media that change over time. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Greg Shatton, you're next.
Thanks, Chuck. Greg Shatton, for the record. I think Alan makes a good point, and maybe this is a point where we're actually getting too granular when talking about whether these should be supported.
I'm sorry for laughing, but... Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry. Is that all you wanted to say? Okay, I guess it was. So now we're not going to have
sorry,
time.
Sorry,
I was having a little microphone problem there. Go ahead, Greg.
No problem. I was just I'm glad to hear you laugh, Chuck. These are supposed to be your salad days and your golden years, so you should be amused every once in a while. Hardest working retired man at ICANN. Maybe there are others, but I think she's still hard working. In any case, if there's just a field for alternates, we can just have that. I don't know if we need to support an IM versus an SMS. We don't need to declare these unsupported. That's the one thing, because things will change over time. You know, fax is true. Peculiar as legacy as it is, it has certain. It's used in certain legal contexts, you know, maybe unfairly, and we don't know what's going to come up. So we should just be agnostic in allowing for a wish to give. You know, it's generational. My son communicates on you know, various chats and messengers and texts far more than email, and who knows if that'll be the case when he turns into a young professional. So I think, you know, free form and there should be more than one. You know, if you want to give everything down to your MySpace page,
be my guest. I think that, you know, most people will want to provide what they believe are the ways that they can be contacted best, or ways that they might want to be contacted only for these purposes, keeping other channels kind of free of friction. But we should be fairly high level about this for once.
Thanks, Greg. David, you're going to get the last comment there other than concluding comments. And keep it brief if you can, because we're just about out of time and we need to wrap it up.
Very briefly indeed. I think we may have strayed into – I'm just going to say that the level of sort of granularity means we may have strayed into phase two implementation territory rather than phase one requirement discussion. That's all.
Thanks, David. Of course, one of our key questions in our charter is to decide on what data elements would be in there. So part of it we have to answer. We may not have to be this granular, as Greg just said and others have said. But we're going to have to wrap this one up. We'll continue this discussion next week. Let's try and remember the comments that have been made. Let's talk about our poll. We've reached, I think what the leadership team will do is create a poll on the 10 or 12, however many data elements there were on the mostly agreed data elements, that there was really no objection after discussion on, at this point, supporting, having the RDS support those. Now, I want to go back to Stephanie's comments in the chat a little bit ago. Stephanie, this is another example where we may have to come back and revisit some things, because you're right. Certainly the data protection experts have said that we need to minimize the data that's collected and so forth. And we have an independent review of those questions that they answered being done, and we hope to have a final report from that process in the next two, at which time we may have to come back and revisit some of these things. So that's, again, back to what we talked about earlier. This is an iterative process. We don't have our independent review yet, once we do, we're going to have to factor in that with decisions that we've made. And so that is understood. David, is that an old hand? Okay. So I think, Marika, are you okay in terms of what we need to do with the poll? And Amr, any questions there? Our next meeting is next week, the same time and day. So we have that. And so our poll is going to relate to the strongly agreed ones, which are the green ones, which are not no green ones shown here. Anyway, so we will have a poll coming out, hopefully later today, and be due Saturday. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a quick question on that poll. Is the approach similar as to how we handled the small set of where people weren't sure if they should be included, that we actually are saying, please state if you object for these to be included in the RDS, leaving aside the whether that's optional, mandatory, or what is getting displayed, but actually ask people to state reasons why they believe it shouldn't be provided for in the RDS, which then, of course, may set us up for further discussion.
So I think what we should do is the way we've been doing it, in the sense that there were no after discussion. There were no objections to any of these, the following data elements, and we'll have to list them, being supported by the RDS. And then I think you're right. If you disagree with any of these elements being supported, please identify which one and cite your reason. Now, do we want to do that in 10 or 12 separate poll items or all together? We can figure out the logistics of that. Does that make sense, Marika?
Yeah, but if I can just follow up, are we talking about the ones that are on the screen here? Which is
no, more... we're not. We're not. That's the wrong screen.
Which one are we talking about?
It's the mostly agreed data elements at the up a bit. Those,
but,
right there.
Okay, so only the remaining ones that we didn't cover yet by agreement. So basically these
that's
five.
Right. Correct. So it'd
okay.
really be these five. Okay, thanks for catching me on that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions, Marika? Anything else we need to do before we wrap this up? So that's the action item is for a poll to be created and everybody to respond to the poll. And thanks, everybody, for your participation today. We're, again, a little bit over. I apologize for that. And we will I will adjourn the meeting. And the recording can stop.
Thanks so much, Chuck. Everyone have a great day. Darren, can you please stop the recording?